And now, the life of Mary Southern. Deep loyalty is one of the qualities which has endeared Mary Southern to everyone who has ever known her. And yesterday, Mary's loyalty was put to the extreme test. Gerald Proust gave her an ultimatum. Unless she agrees to sell him her share and Max's in the Sanders interest, he will cause Dr. John Benson's removal as head of the children's clinic. Proust, taking advantage of the fact that Max Sanders, Mary's husband, is too sick to defend himself against the false charges that he started the prison fire, intends to denounce John Benson publicly because of his friendship for a criminal and his wife. Convinced that Max would agree with her, Mary made her decision. She believes that no sacrifice is too great to make for a friend. Now it is early morning. Mary waits on the steps of the Proust house, firm in her resolution to give up everything she and Max have worked for. Proust's maid opens the door.
Oh, it's you, Mrs. Andrews.
How do you do?
Come in. Mr. Proust's been waiting for you.
Waiting for me?
But how did you know that I...
Come along this way, ma'am. Mr. Proust in the front room.
Mrs. Sanders is here, sir.
Oh, just as I thought. Well, where is she? I told you to bring her right in, Mr. Kane.
I'm here, Mr. Proust. Good morning.
Oh, good morning. Come in. Sit down, Mrs. Sanders. No, not there. Over here. More comfortable.
Thank you.
Now, what can I do for you?
You're very sure of yourself, aren't you, Mr. Proust?
Why, what do you mean?
You were so sure I'd come this morning that you gave orders for me to be brought in to see you immediately.
Well, as a matter of fact, I did think you'd come to your senses by today.
And by coming here, I convinced you that I have come to my senses, as you expressed it.
Certainly. You didn't come all the way over here to turn down my offer now, did you?
I won't answer that now. But I would like to discuss certain matters with you, Mr. Proust.
Can't see that there's anything to discuss, Mr. Sanders, but go ahead, I'm listening.
Mr. Proust, are you still determined to have Dr. Benson removed as head of the clinic if I don't sell you my stock in the Sanders interest?
I told you that when I phoned you last night. I'm not a man to change my mind overnight.
Why do you want to ruin Dr. Benson's career? You know how much he's done for the clinic. You know how efficient he is and how much he's needed here in Sanders.
That's a matter of opinion.
You know as well as I do that it'll hurt the town as much as it'll hurt John Benson if you remove him.
There's no sense in talking like this, Mrs. Sanders. I've got nothing against John Benson personally, except that he's pig-headed and stubborn. But I'm willing to admit he's a good doctor.
Then what grounds have you for demanding his resignation?
Just this. We can't have any man in charge of a children's clinic who spends more time with a convict and a convict's wife than he does with his job.
Mr. Proust,
now see here. Might as well speak plainly. There's no place in this town for a man who's disgraced himself as Max Sanders has. And there's no place for that man's wife and family either.
You'd stoop to anything, no matter how low, to get your own way, wouldn't you? You'd ruin John Benson's career in cold blood simply because he's loyal to me and my husband.
You didn't come here to discuss my character, did you, Mrs. Sanders? I'm surprised you'd even want to mention your husband. It was bad enough when he was sent to prison, but now he's disgraced himself a second time, setting fire to the prison and killing a lot of men.
That's not true.
Oh, sure. The warden lied. Well, the fact remains, your precious husband is accused of it. The chances are he'll go back to jail for years, maybe life. You'll be smart if you accept my offer for the stock and get out of town. We don't want people like you in fact.
You've tried everything else and failed, so now you're blackmailing.
Oh. Blackmail is a very ugly word, Mrs. Sanders. Don't toss it around carelessly.
You know I won't let John Benson suffer because of his friendship for Max and me. My Sanders stock for John Benson's job. That's it, isn't it?
You must put it crudely, yes. I want control of the Sanders interests for the good of the community. Max Sanders has been a bad influence in town already. The law finally caught up with him.
Mr. Proust, my husband was sent to prison on a false charge.
Oh, come, Mrs. Sanders. Did you come here just to talk, or have you made up your mind? Are you going to be reasonable and tell me that stock?
Apparently, I have no choice. Yes, Mr. Proust, I'll sell you the stock. There's nothing else I can do.
Daddy Stafford! Daddy Stafford! Hey! Anybody home?
Just a minute. I'm opening the door. What's the hurry?
Why, John Benson. Here. Glad to see you. Come in.
I haven't time, Daddy. I'm looking for Mary. Is she here?
No. You have bad news for her.
Bad news? No, I have great news for her. Do you know where she is? I stopped at her house, but she wasn't there, so I thought she might be over here with you.
No, Mary isn't here, John, but what's happened to her? I don't think I ever saw you so excited.
Dr. Tracy just came back from the governor, and Max has been cleared of suspicion in a prison fire.
John, this changes everything. Well, that's the news Mary needed. Oh, I'm afraid you're too late.
Too late? Too late for what? What are you talking about?
Well, I promised Mary I wouldn't tell, but... Well, I can say this much. She's going to see Gerald Proust.
Mary with Proust? Why?
I can't tell you that, John.
Good heavens, man. You don't have to. I can guess. It can mean only one thing. Mary's decided to sell Proust the stock.
Yeah. That's it, John. I tried to keep her from going. I argued myself blue in the face when she called me this morning. But she insisted she had to.
She can't do that. Why, now that Max has been cleared, Proust can't hurt either of them. The whole town will be congratulating Max. He's a hero.
If you'd only come half an hour sooner, John, you might have kept her from selling them. And I'm afraid you're too late now.
Too late? I don't believe it. I can't believe Mary would give up so easily. I'm going to Proust's house now. I've got to stop her.
Well, good luck, John. There's a bare chance that you'll get there in time if you hurry. But hurry, John. Hurry.
Come now, Mrs. Sanders. I can't sit here and listen to you talk all day. Let's get this business over with. I suppose you brought the stock certificate?
Yes, I brought them. But it seems to me you're almost too eager about this, Mr. Proust. You're so eager that I'm beginning to wonder if you're sure of yourself. Sure you care now, John Benson.
Perhaps, Mr. Proust.
I told you I didn't want to be interrupted, Mother.
Well, that's what I told Mr. Davis, sir, but he just phoned for the third time. He's awful mad because you won't talk to him.
Why you call him later?
He said he wouldn't be home. He's gone away and won't be back till next week.
Mary and Davis gone away?
Get out of here, Martha, and shut that door.
Yes, sir.
Tell Mrs. Sanders if you'll sign right here.
So Mary and Davis is going away. Well, that means you won't be at the board meeting tomorrow night.
There's no such thing. He's calling about something else. A little argument we had.
I think I'm beginning to understand why you're rushing me into signing, Miss Proust. It was all a bluff, wasn't it?
You'll find out if it was a bluff or not.
Merlin Davis is chairman of the clinic board. Now that his niece, little Betty Dillon, is recovering from that infection, Davis has probably forgotten his grudge against John Benson.
Nonsense. Davis will do whatever I ask him to.
I'm not so sure. I'm glad I had this nice long talk with you, Mr. Proust. And I'm grateful to your maid for interrupting. Perhaps it's not really necessary for me to sign over my stock to you today.
Mary.
Mr. Proust is busy, Dr. Benson. You can't go in there.
Why, John. Mary. John Benson.
Have you signed anything yet?
Well, John, how did you know?
What's the idea of bursting in on us like this, Benson?
Mary, tell me, please. Have you signed those papers?
Well, no, John. I meant to, but something happened just now which changed my mind.
Thank heaven. Now, you've heard the news.
News? What news?
Mary, Max has been cleared of all suspicion in a prison fire.
John, I don't understand.
I told you Tracy was going to the governor. After he told his story, the governor sent for the warden, and he finally broke down and admitted he'd been responsible for the fire. He admitted he stole that celluloid there in spite of the warning, and he's resigned.
Oh, I'm so glad.
And Mary, by tonight, everybody in the state will know that Max and Steve Larson were really heroes who saved dozens of lives in that fire. The governor's giving his story to all the papers.
Oh, John, I can hardly believe it.
And I don't believe it. You're lying, Benson.
Don't you wish I were lying? No, Bruce, it's true. Wait till you see the evening papers. Come on, Mary. Let's get out of here. We'll be a stop.
Oh, I'm so happy. John, if Max's name has been cleared, if he's a hero now, nobody could think he was a disgrace to the town, could they? Mr. Proust couldn't convince anybody that Max and I are undesirable.
I'm trying to tell you, Mary. Max is a hero. All the papers will headline the story, and the town of Sanders will bask in resplendent glory.
But look here, you...
In that case, Mr. Proust, I don't believe you can threaten me or my friends any longer. I don't think you can incite the mill people against me or incite your board members against John Benson. So it won't be necessary now for us to carry out this little business transaction. Come, John. I'd like to get out into the fresh air.
First time in many weeks, Mary has had a moment of triumph. And the long campaign of Gerald Proust to obtain control of the Sanders interest seems to be at an end. But will he accept defeat so easily? We wonder.